dull but important stuff on this edition of Key Life. That was Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a no-nonsense approach to God's Word. If you have a Bible, get it, and let's see how it applies to real life. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon meant as much to you as mine did to me. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Judges if you're in a place where you can open a Bible. If not, just trust that when I read passages of Scripture, that I'm reading them properly. By the way, if you're just a new listener to Key Life, what we're doing during this series is we're trying to see the Old Testament as a user-friendly section of the Bible. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians stay out of the Old Testament. Well, we may read the 23rd Psalm on occasion, and maybe a proverb or two, but we don't go into the Old Testament to see its richness, its glory, its grace, and God's amazing love. And so I'm taking whatever time it takes, and we're going to do this until we both get tired of it, and then we'll stop for a while and maybe do something else. But we're going to come back to it because I want to make sure that we go through the entire Old Testament. We're up now to the book of Judges, and we're starting our week or two, maybe 3 week study in the book of Judges. Before we turn to the book, it's our practice to go before the throne, so let's do that. Father, we are sometimes just blown away with your kindness. When we're honest with ourselves, when we stop playing games, when we look at the way we live and what we think, the bad stuff we did and the bad stuff we didn't get around to, when we really see at the core of who we are some things that are not very pleasing to us or to you, we're ashamed. And then we see your kindness. We see your generosity. We see your gentleness. And we see your love. And we're overwhelmed with the wonder of it. We praise you, Father. We praise you as a creature would praise the Creator, but more than that, as a child would look to a good father and be glad. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast right now, and you know all the problems that are represented by the listeners. We live in a fallen world, and we're not home yet, and some are lonely, and they need a friend, and some are afraid. And some have broken hearts, and some are going through incredible marriage problems. Some have financial difficulties and can't pay the mortgage. There's a man who's listening who just lost his job. Father, another who's dealing with alcohol, and he just can't stop. Father, you know it all. And so we come to you not because we're good, but because we're yours, and certainly not because we're together, but because we're yours. Meet us. Come yourself and heal and cleanse and change and forgive and motivate and remind us of home. And now, Father, as we study your word on Key Life, as always, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. They call him Reverend, and he's not. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to take some time. We're up to the book of Judges. Now, we have seen as we've gone through this series in the Old Testament, and I am not taking it line upon line and verse upon verse and precept upon precept. Should we do that, it would take forever and ever and ever into infinity. And I'm an old guy, and I don't have that much time. But what I want to do is to make the Old Testament a book that you can go to and feel comfortable with, or for you English teachers, with which you can be comfortable, to make it, as it were, user-friendly. Now, we've seen that in the Hebrew Bible, there are three great divisions. There's the Pentateuch, that's called the Torah, the first five books of Moses, written by Moses in great part. Now, he didn't write about his death, we know that. But generally, the tradition, and I accept it as factual, is that Moses wrote most of the first five books of the Bible. Then the prophets. In the Hebrew Bible, there are 8 books. In your English Bible, there are 21, and the prophets are divided into 2 sections. There are the former prophets. And these are Joshua and Judges and Samuel and Kings. And then the latter prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the 12, the smaller books. And then the third section is called the writings. Now, in order to relate what we're studying, I want, and I know this is dull, but this will be helpful to you when you study the Older Testament, and you will be tested on the material. Look at the divisions in the English Bible, because they're different than in the Hebrew Bible. First is the Pentateuch, the five books, then the historical books, 12 books, then the poetical books, the next five books, then the major prophets, five books, and the minor prophets, the 12. And this week we're studying the book of Judges, the second of the former prophets in the Hebrew Bible, the second of the historical books in the English Bible. And you say, wait. What are we missing? I mean, something's not right there. Well, I want you to know that the material in both the Hebrew Bible and in the English Bible is exactly the same. It's just a matter of how one arranges those books. The English Bible follows, and just for your information, in case you're asked on a contest or something, the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. And that was done about 280, 150 before the birth of Christ, and it was done in the city of Alexandria. All right, our study for this week is centering around the book of Judges, and we don't know who wrote this book. Tradition has said that it was perhaps Samuel, but even that tradition has not always been a tradition. Sometimes a lot of different people have been suggested. So whoever the author of this book is, his or her name, like that of the writer of the book of Hebrews, is simply unknown, so deal with it. Now, some of the material in the book of Judges is really, really old. Some of the oldest, maybe the oldest in the entire Bible. For instance, in Judges 5, 1 through 31, we will see, and we're going to talk some about Deborah when we come along to that part, but the Song of Deborah, amazing, wonderful poetry in Judges 5, has been dated as early as 1125 B.C. Now, because of the use of the phrase, there was no king in Israel in those days, and that's used some five times in the book of Judges, it's evident, if you use deductive logic 101, that the book was compiled at least as late as the period of the kings of Israel in 1025 B.C. The name of the book, and by the way, this is different than the names of the books of Moses in the sense that it's the same in the English and it's the same in the Hebrew Bible, Judges. The book of Judges covers a period between the death of Joshua and the reign of the kings, or perhaps the time of Samuel, circa 1360 B.C. to 1035 B.C. The book tells the story of 12 leaders. 12, if you will, Spirit-anointed leaders of Israel, some of them leading only a portion of the people of God, some of their terms of leadership overlapping or running concurrent with other leaders. Some of the leaders were good, some of them were not half bad, and some of them were bad. Some did good stuff, and some did bad stuff. It goes on and on, and it hasn't changed in our time. Now, if you're looking for a fairly short outline of the book of Judges, if you're going to be reading it, there's the introduction to the period of Judges. That's 1 through 2-5. And then the political conditions from Joshua to Judges, that's in chapter 1 through 36. And then Israel, weeks in failure, 2-1 through 5. And that's all the first introduction section. Then there's the period of the Judges, and that goes from the second chapter, the 6th verse, to the 16th chapter and the 31st verse. And then there's a double appendix in the book of Judges, and it's quite interesting. That's 17:1 through 21:25. First, the idolatry of Micah and the Danites, that's 17 and 18, and then the crime of Gibeah and its punishment, 19 through 21. Now, in order to get an overview of the book of Judges, you got to go and read the entire second chapter of the book. Now, I don't have time to do that. But if you're going to start studying the book of Judges, it's important to go to the second chapter of Judges. And what you'll find there first is we look at major themes in this particular book is a wonderful and biblical philosophy of history. Look at Judges 2:11-12. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord and the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around about them, and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Then Judges 2:14-15, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the power of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in sore straits. And then look at Judges 2:18. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for him, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted them and oppressed them. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but there is a philosophy of history. And summarized, it means that the word history is his story. Don't mess around with God. You think about that. Amen. Yeah, I know what I just did was pretty dull, but I promise, or at least I hope, that tomorrow will get a little bit more exciting. But that's foundational material. You really need it to understand the book of Judges. Hey, listen, are you a part of our Key Life Tape family? If you aren't, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. But other than that, when I'm teaching, and sometimes at Reformed Seminary, sometimes in Orlando, the Billy Graham Training Center, Lake Barkley Fellowship of Missions, or Bible Conference, we take those and we send those tapes out to our Key Life Tape family. And you get a tape every few weeks, and they keep coming as long as you want them. You just have to let us know. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day or write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38533. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and give us your regular mail address. They're free, but that certainly does not mean that I would turn down a contribution. Pray about it. If you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it, because you help your brother and sister in Christ. For any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching, What About the Past, is my thank you. Charge on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. I've got to go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.